Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning Terry Dolan, who's associated with the Borough, the Mat-Su Borough. Terry, tell us your full title.
Well, first, good morning, Mike, and okay. I'm glad to be here. I'm the Director of Public Works for the Borough, which means for all your borough roads and streets out there, I'm responsible for your maintenance and minor construction. I'm responsible for your landfill transfer sites, for maintenance of all the buildings in the borough. There's about 75 or so of them. Fleet vehicle maintenance. We run a small water and sewer utility in Talkeetna. So lots of different facets to the job.
And you have help.
I do.
How many people work in that department?
Depends on the time of year. You know, we have a large group of on-call temporary employees, and they vary by time of year. We have a summer road crew, winter road crew, but altogether, I'd say at any one time, normally about 35 to 40 folks.
Okay. That seems to me to be a somewhat small number, given when
it
you
is.
Make the list of things. You said that in less than a minute. But I know how big the borough is, and just talking about roads or the buildings, et cetera, it must keep people hopping.
It does. And so here's how we do it. Generally, most of the major work that we do is done by contractors. And, for example, in each of our 16 road service areas, we have a contractor that performs all of the routine maintenance. So then each of those contractors has one borough employee that oversees them. But each of those guys, those superintendents that oversee the contractors, have about four or five road service areas that they oversee. So it's a small number of borough employees overseeing the performance of a large number of contracts.
Very good. That sounds like an efficient way to do it, one that's flexible to take care of needs as time comes up.
I think there's can be some argument made in terms of whether government employees could do it more efficiently or not. Certainly, any time that you have a contractor, you're paying all of their overhead, you're
right.
Paying their profit, so those costs may not be lower than what the government could do on its own. But with the type of government that we have here in the borough, a second-class borough in the state of Alaska, we don't have area-wide road powers, and so we don't have the authority to just have a giant borough road crew that goes out and does maintenance.
Okay.
That authority has to be granted to us by the people, and that has happened 16 times in 16 different road service areas, for example.
You mentioned Talkeetna. I have to, early on here, ask about the recent ballot proposition up there. About 100 people had a chance to vote. As it stands right now, the yes votes are about 10 ahead of the no to move forward and tax themselves for improvements to that district. Any comment about that?
Yeah, so I actually wasn't free to really talk about it in too much detail about how I felt about it until the election was over.
Good.
But I think, you know, my view of it is it's great news for the people of Talkeetna. This ballot proposition and the sales tax that it put in place was designed to place much of the burden of operating that sewer and water utility on the tourists who come and visit the area. And the dollars that that'll produce are really necessary to do the maintenance and upgrades that are needed in that facility. So that water and sewer utility has been operating for almost 30 years now, and it has never had just from revenue for services provided for water and sewer services, it has never had the kind of revenue it needed to do the maintenance to operate that system and keep it going. And so many, many thousands of dollars worth of maintenance have been deferred, and that has had negative consequences on how the system is operating. You may have seen in the news problems with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation over discharge limits for example, fecal coliform bacteria up there. All of those things are a result of the lack of maintenance on that system for a 30-year period, which is directly a result of the lack of revenue from the system to do that maintenance. So this tax is designed to end that shortage of revenue and put us in a position where we can actually maintain that system properly and then potentially upgrade it so that it performs to meet the level of the need up there.
So I take it from what you've just said, then initially it'll be some maintenance that'll be done, and then down the road, improvements, changes, additions perhaps to the system.
Yeah, so let me just take you back, I guess, about 3 years.
Okay.
I arrived here in the borough as public works director right about 4 years ago now. And within that first year, I realized that we did not have an adequate maintenance program up until Keaton. And I also realized we didn't have the money that we needed to start performing that maintenance. So I went to the borough manager, John Moosey, and we discussed it. And essentially, John at that time gave me the flexibility to do what I needed to do in terms of increasing the budget. Even though we didn't have the revenue coming in at that time, he allowed me to increase the budget and operate at a deficit to do what I consider to be emergency maintenance to get that system back on track. We've been really doing that for about 3 years, trying to fix the discharge violations that we've had. And I think most of the things, or almost all of the things that we could reasonably do with just operating money, you know, the small amount of money that's set aside for maintenance, have been done now. And the problem, of course, is it takes, in a system like that, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's a three-lagoon system where wastewater goes into the system and it essentially flows through the system and it stays there for almost a year in theory. Because of the volume of water that's coming into the system, our water only stays in there more like 6 months, which means it's inadequately treated. And one of the reasons that it flows through there so fast is there are underground leaks in the system. Now, you might think, well, leaks means you'd have less water, but the whole system in Talkeetna is built below the water table because Talkeetna is in a flood zone and it sits only a few feet above the water table. So when those sewer lines and those manholes spring a leak, rather than sewage leaking out, what happens is groundwater leaks in. And all of a sudden you have to treat millions and millions of gallons of more water than what the system was designed to treat. So over the last 2 years, by attacking this infiltration problem, we've cut back, we believe, about 12 million gallons a year of water infiltration into the system. So we've effectively slowed this waste down in the system, given it longer time to be treated. But you don't actually see the results of that until 300 or so days later,
right,
when that waste starts to leave the system and you're sampling it. So we have noticed some big changes in what the system looks like and how it's performing, but we aren't yet at a point where we can consistently meet the discharge standards that ADEC has set for us in our permit.
Now, Talkeetna is one area that has come onto the front page when there's been some flooding. There are flooding situations that involve the rivers, particularly in the Sutton area and the Butte area. For that matter, on a number of the road systems where there are places where if we have extraordinary rain, water, and so on. How is there a way to describe the flooding potential? This is a big question because there's so many different parts of the borough that are affected by flooding, and the ways in which we're looking ahead to deal with everything from river erosion to flooding in Talkeetna, et cetera. I'd almost think that there would be a group that would be focused saying, okay, how do we deal with this rather than piecemeal?
Sure. So what I'll tell you first is that one of the things that all of the areas of the borough have in common is they were built along the riverways. And most cities and towns, or many cities and towns, along the edges or down in the floodplains of these rivers. And so that leaves us very vulnerable to flooding, and it leaves us very vulnerable to erosion. The Matanuska, the Big Sioux, a lot of these rivers are heavily braided, and they meander back and forth between the sort of mountain ranges or hills on the left and right, wherever they want to go, and they're very difficult to predict where they're going to go. The Matanuska, where, you know, many of your listeners live, has been changing course every year, you know, by small amounts some years, by larger amounts in other years. And there's some places where it hasn't really changed where it's flowing since the time frame of World War I. So it's very difficult to predict exactly where these things are going to happen. And that puts lots of people who own property, own homes, and maybe even small towns along these rivers at risk. So you would think the borough would be all over doing something about that. But as I mentioned earlier, the borough is a second-class borough in the state, and that means one of the things we don't have is flood management authority. that would have to be granted to us by the state or by a vote of the people, just like I talked about in the road service areas. So there are a couple of places where flood management authority has been granted to the borough. The one down here on the Matanuska River is Circle View Estates Stampede area. We have a series of five finger dikes down there that are there to prevent erosion so that it reduces the risk. And those folks down there pay a mill rate for that service from the borough. There's one other place, and that's up in Talkeetna. There's a flood service area there as well. Folks up there pay a small mill rate, and we use that money to maintain the essentially there's a dike there in Talkeetna that prevents erosion of the rivers into the city. So those are the only two places where the borough actually has any authority to do flood management work. Outside of those areas, the only folks that have authority to do that are the state and federal government.
Well, I appreciate that. That's an important description of the reality. And since you've mentioned the state, I know that as a public works director, if there is an issue associated with one of the state-owned and operated and maintained highways, you still have a role to play in working with it, because we have these roads that run along the river. Gun Highway is one, certainly, a big and very important road connecting going north and others as well. How do you work with the state, for example, state DOT on these road issues?
So the first thing I'll tell you is that our residents and our maintenance superintendents all drive not only borough roads, but they drive state roads as well.
Right.
And the information on what's happening on those roads comes into our office pretty routinely. We have a road hotline that I would encourage people to call if you see road problems. And if it's a borough problem, we get it right to the contractor or potentially send out a borough road crew to deal with it. And if it's on a state road, we will transfer folks right to the state's hotline where they can talk to the state maintenance folks about fixing the problem. So that's one of the things that happens. You did say that we still have a role to play, and maybe that's about the extent of it, is sharing information with the state. We don't actually have any authority to do any maintenance on state roads. From time to time, we come to agreements with the states to separate our maintenance in a way that makes more sense. For example, some roads will be for the first few miles a state road, and for the second few miles maybe a borough road. Mm-hmm. And in a case like that, it doesn't make sense to have a state plow truck go down that road halfway, pick up its blade, and turn around and go home. Sure. It makes more sense for them to go all the way to the end and then turn around rather than having a borough truck following them on already plowed roads to take over. So in a case like that, we might very well make a maintenance agreement with the state to swap roads of approximately equal length and of equal difficulty to maintain. So that we make more efficient use of the equipment that's out there.
So I was thinking, as you were describing that, of a situation where you have all the feeder roads, smaller roads that connect into a state road. These are borough roads.
Most of them are, yeah.
So that's still an aspect of the maintenance, obviously, from the road service area or the in terms of snow plowing, in particular as we're heading toward winter. That'll be the issue that will come up, I know, if we have heavy snow plowing, particularly of borough roads that are connectors to major roads.
So generally, the state owns and is responsible for the intersections of borough roads with a state road. So we don't both maintain those intersections. They're typically maintained by the state. There are some cases where we may maintain an intersection that's on a state road, but those are very, very few.
Okay. Good. That's important, I think, for our listeners to be aware of. Mike Malevsky, and I'm here with Terry Dolan, who's the Public Works Director for the Matsu Borough. We've been talking about roads. Are there projects coming up in this next year that we have not mentioned that are going to grab a lot of your attention?
So I would say the answer is no, not that there's not projects, but there won't be any single project in the borough that Public Works is doing that will grab a lot of my attention. Most of the major projects, like multi-million-dollar road bond types of projects, are conducted by Capital Projects Department.
Okay.
So that's Jude Billifer is the director over there, and he's got a whole staff of project managers and engineers that make sure that all of those things are done right. And you ought to get him in here to talk about what
I plan to, thank you, on
his agenda, because he's got a lot of big projects out there that I'm sure he'd love to talk about. When I described earlier what I'm responsible for, one of the things I said was minor construction. And I always say minor because we typically do road construction that costs less than $1 million. And I would say on average, more like less than $500,000, but occasionally larger.
Okay.
And that might sound like a lot of money to folks. It sounds like a lot of money to me. But the truth of the matter is $500,000 doesn't buy you a lot of road construction. So these are generally smaller projects. They happen on borough residential streets, and they're paid for typically by road service area dollars, that road service area or RSA mill rate that folks pay on their property tax pays for those projects. So what happens in a road service area is the revenue is collected from the taxes, and the first thing that happens to that money is the routine maintenance costs, the cost of paying that contract and other routine maintenance that the borough does, comes out of that money. And anything that's left after paying for that routine maintenance, we transfer over into a capital account, and we use that money to pay for upgrades of roads when there's enough. In places, these small road service areas up the Glen Highway, there's in a typical year, there's very little left over after maintenance costs are paid for to pay for capital upgrades. But as you get closer into the core area of the borough, what you find is that the revenue is much greater because these areas are much more densely populated. They're very built up. There's high assessed values, and that produces a lot of revenue. And so typically there might be here in the quarry area in a road service area, $1 million a year or maybe a little more left over after maintenance is done to take on a upgrade project. So that's how that money sort of gets split up. So there's a lot of projects that we do every year, and right now is a great time for folks to think about what they'd like to see in their area, because our road service area board of supervisors in each area are right now making recommendations to the manager in the assembly about what projects they would like to see.
Okay.
I take those recommendations and I compile them into a piece of legislation that we take to the assembly right around December timeframe. And then the assembly essentially approves that list, and that's what we build off of the next summer. So this is a great time for folks to think about it and to maybe attend their road service area boards. Their public meetings, they're listed on the borough website. You can find out what RSA area you're in there, and you can find out when and where your board meets and go join in on it.
Okay. Well, as I think about the borough, I'm reminded I drove up to Denali a few weeks ago, and I saw the sign leaving the Mat-Su borough on the Parks Highway, well beyond the place where I guess I've been on that road before, and I've seen it, but it's just a reminder seeing it how far up north the borough extends. And right. In an area where there are very few, if any, side roads, it's the Parks Highway going up, et cetera. And to be reminded that if you go east and west, you still have a lot of areas that are without roads. They're just pretty much empty of civilization in terms of roads and houses and all the rest of it. And so I'm thinking that as you're talking about the more remote parts of the borough, it would appear to me that the borough plant in terms of buildings is pretty much concentrated in the central area as well. Is that accurate?
I think there is a relatively heavy concentration of borough facilities in the core area because that's where there's the larger amount of people to serve. But out in the more remote areas of the borough, there are borough buildings, community council buildings, there's right. fire stations and this type of facility. And since you asked about how we handle big tasks with a small number of people earlier, I'll tell you, maintaining those buildings is something of a challenge. And one of the things that we do is we instrument the equipment in those buildings with sensors that can tell us when there's problems there, maybe help us analyze the problem before we go there so we bring the right repair parts or the right person to fix it. And even will allow us over a digital network to reset the system without ever having to go there.
Okay.
Now, this kind of equipment isn't uncommon, but it's not cheap either. Sure. So it's sort of a trade-off. We do all the maintenance in our buildings in the borough with just a handful of people, and mostly these kind of electronic systems that help us understand what's going on and help us maybe remotely reset problem boilers or problem air handlers, those types of things. Those things really allow us to have a much smaller crew.
Okay. And I'm guessing, I think I've heard discussion of backup generators for many of the buildings that are out there that may lose power as well.
That's very common at borough buildings, and it's something that we do not just for maintenance purposes, but it's there for emergency management purposes. Say we have a major earthquake and power is lost to the region. The fire stations and many other community buildings do have backup generators so that those first responders and all their support folks can continue to operate to do what they need to do to take care of the residents.
Okay. Mike Malevsky, once again, here with Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works for the Mat-Su Borough. We have a minute or two left. Terry, anything you'd like to convey before we finish?
I don't know. I guess I'd ask you what you're interested in talking about, but I don't know. We just obviously had a big election on Tuesday.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what the ultimate fallout from that will be. We, of course, talked about the Talkeetna fallout, but there's potentially other interesting fallout that'll happen. So I would encourage folks to sort of monitor what happens at the borough and what happens in the assembly. I never was really involved in county government until I came to this job 4 years ago. And it's been quite an eye-opener. And I sit in every single assembly meeting
right.
It's possible. And to see what goes on in there and how the tax money is spent and who has what agenda and why and what that means in terms of how people's tax money is spent it's an eye-opener. And if you're not aware of what's going on or how much power that borough assembly has, you ought to go take a look at it because it's pretty amazing. The thing I'd like folks to know is that, you see if you monitor Facebook or kind of any other social media out there, you see a lot of sort of trolling going on out there and conspiracy theory and claims about, poor management and that type of thing. Truth of the matter is, from my perspective, is we take managing public money extraordinarily seriously. And in addition to that, my view, especially when it comes to road maintenance or the solid waste services that we provide, is that the money that we're dealing with is your money as a taxpayer, and what you get out of it, I want you to be happy with. Now, the reality of doing road work and road construction is you can almost never make everybody happy, but we go out of our way to make sure that residents are getting what they want out of their maintenance dollars and out of their construction dollars. And so please talk to us if you have heartburn. If you're angry about your road, we want to hear about it because we'd like to be able to get it on the list to get fixed. The other thing I would say is when you see maintenance problems, call us on the road hotline. It's 861-7755. You can call us 24 hours. When we're not there, your voice message goes automatically by email to a maintenance manager who, in an emergency, will dispatch somebody out to the site. If it really is an emergency, call 911. But if you got maintenance problems, call that road hotline, and it helps us monitor the activities of the contractor and helps us get the most out of your maintenance dollars.
Well, good points. Observation, especially. And you're right. Every time there's a change in the assembly, there's a change in the personality of that group up there. And we know that there's at least one, possibly two changes in people sitting. And it's worth, if you haven't been to a borough assembly meeting recently or haven't listened to our stream or listened to the recorded broadcast that we do, then by all means, take a moment and do that. Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works, Mat-Su Borough, thank you very much for coming in today. I hope you have a good day. We're off to an early start.
Thank you, Mike.